This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We're talking with Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, diving into some of the new developments in the Corey Richens murder case. We've now learned that her housekeeper, a convicted drug dealer, has confessed to selling the Utah mom two batches of fentanyl in the weeks before she allegedly used some to poison her husband in that Moscow mule, selling about 15 to 30 pills at a batch, about $900 for the batch. This is interesting. Two large batches of fentanyl for one person. I mean, one fentanyl could kill someone. What do you make of this revelation that we're learning of the premeditation here in this crime?
Well, there's no doubt in this case, if all of this is proven to be true, that this was committed while she was in her right mind. She knew exactly what she was doing and had planned it for quite some time. So this, again, speaks more to a person who's does not have a brain disease. Her brain is working just fine, but she's got a psychopathic way of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm. Is we throw the word, you know, crazy psychopath and things like that out there very easily. And they, we also usually come back with, well, maybe there's some sort of mental illness going on here as well. And in many cases, there are. If she has a psychopathic way of looking at the world, would that be classified as a mental illness and a mental illness that's going on with her, the way she looks at the world? Or is that just simply, well, this is just how she thinks and that's what it's categorized as?
Yeah. Psychopathy, the tendency to be a psychopath or look at the world through a psychopathic lens. This is a personality type. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, it's not a brain disease. It's not a mental illness. It's not something that can be cured with therapy or treated with medication. This is just the personality of the person. And that personality is who they are. So this was formed in childhood based upon some inherited tendencies. And there's no fixing a psychopath. There's no changing them. And psychopathic people tend to see other humans as pawns. It's just a means to an end. It's a way to get their needs met. And a person who plans a crime this far in advance with this kind of attention to detail and methodical action in order to meet a goal, in this case, it appears to be money to eliminate the husband, there's no doubt that this person has a problematic personality and would probably never be somebody that we would be comfortable with in our lives.
How often do people who have the psychopathic personality commit violent crimes, I should ask?
You know, it's really hard to know because if they're a smart psychopath, they often don't get caught. So we don't really know how often they commit violent crimes. Most of them are not violent. You find psychopathic people in politics, you find them in religion, you find them, you know, basically everywhere in the legal profession. And they're strategic thinkers who are very good at accomplishing goals, but at the expense of morality. You know, they don't follow the same moral code about not hurting other people that the rest of us do. Mm-hmm. But certainly not all of them are violent. It's thought that about 3% of the population is psychopathic. But I have seen data that says they account for 50% of all violent crimes. And so that's kind of a dramatic number and shows the amount of damage that people with this personality type can do.
Is that something where it's always you're born with this type of personality, or can someone who otherwise has on the outside represented to people as a fairly responsible mom or professional or this or that, is it something that can come on later in life? Is it something that can be learned and then adopted to? Or is this something that it's just always there in certain people and it's a matter of how those people tend to use it?
Yeah, I think it's always there. And we even see with children that some children have psychopathic tendencies very early in life. You know, mm-hmm. They don't have compassion for animals. They don't care about other people. They don't care who they hurt. You know, they're more selfish. And so you do see these tendencies more so in some people than in others. And now personality, there's a degree of flexibility. So we can certainly, if you see tendencies like that with kids, you can mold them, you know, more so than you can adults. But when you have somebody who's 18, 19, 20 years old and showing this very self-centered tendency and violating the rights of other people, whether it's through violence or stealing or manipulation, that's probably personality traits. And, you know, that's something, a person that you just sort of have to look at through a bit of a different lens. Keep an eye on that.
Is there a way of getting in front of that when someone is very young, like a child and a parent or a psychologist or somebody recognizes psychopathic traits in a kid that go beyond just, you know, extra energy and things of that nature? When it's in you that deep, and you're, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever, is that something that can be corrected at a younger age, or is this something where it's more like mom and dad buckle up because this is what you got?
Yeah, I think you have to work harder with a child who may be insensitive, cold, callous, manipulative. And I do think you can see those kids in 7, 8, 9 year olds. Yeah. You know, you see those traits. And so parents need to have a lot more structure with kids like that, not let them manipulate, not that let them get away with things. And it takes a lot more work to teach them that it's in their own best interest to follow the rules. They may not follow the rules out of a sense of, you know, moral integrity or compassion for other people, but they can be taught that, you know, life just works better when you follow the rules. And so it is kind of a different way of parenting. But yeah, we can intervene with kids like that.
It's almost like playing into, like, well, this is how they think, so you got to speak to their engine, if you will. It's like, well, I know you like it this way, but if you do it this way, it'll be even better for you. Whatever crazy shit you're coming up with, it'll be easier this way.
Yeah. Well, you just really do have to really show that there are consequences, you know, when you break the rules, when you hurt other people, you don't let them get away with it. You know, you don't let them talk you out of the punishment. You make sure that they understand when you break the rules, when you violate other people's rights, there are going to be consequences. And this is why it will serve you over the course of your life to follow the rules and to not go down that path. And so it's a lot of extra work in parenting a difficult child like that, but it's worth it. You know, you can have, to some degree, have some control over it.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.